A tourist came to a small town in the mountains to rest from a long journey. He went over to an old man sitting on a bench in front of the only store in town, and he asked, "Friend, can you tell me something about what this town is noted for?"
"Well, sonny," replied the old man.
I like to do that with my kids, by the way. Old men don't have teeth.
"I don't rightly know, except that it's the starting point to the world. You can start here and go anywhere you want."
It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Whether you're in a small town and you think you're at the center of the world, or some place like Metro Manila, which is probably the center of the world. In ministry as it is in life, it is critical that we have the right perspective. How we view the unsaved world around us, how we view ourselves, the church, and even the Bible will have profound impact on the choices we make and the patterns of life that we follow. As you prepare here at APNTS for future ministry, it is critical that you set patterns of decision making now, that you determine how you will make decisions that will impact how you do ministry in the next 10, 20, even 40 or 50 years of active ministry in the future. To some degree, some of the facts and methods you learn are outdated as soon as you graduate. It is impossible for professors to teach you all of the methods and skills that you will need in the future. A much more successful educational strategy, I believe, is to teach core values and character while you're here at the seminary, and to enhance the raw material of the content that you will learn here at seminary. This morning, I want to suggest to you several core values that Paul the Apostle advised to his young protege, Timothy. So I invite you to turn in your New Testaments to Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. And stand with me again in honor of God's word as we read this passage. Hear the word of the Lord through Paul the Apostle. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Lord, we just ask your blessing upon your word today. May it speak to our hearts. Speak through me as we share together these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We all want to be successful in ministry. It is critical for us to focus upon the core values that we have before us in our effort to be successful. We like to have a sense of accomplishment, don't we? It's important to us as ministers to have a sense that we are fulfilling the Great Commission. One of the quickest ways to burn out in the ministry is to feel that what you are doing is not having any lasting value. people do not respond to your labor in the Lord. There's no vision in the local church. No new people have come to the church and stayed. You've been a pastor for 2 years, and you have not had one baptism. As ministers, we want to be used by God. That's why we're here at seminary, paying the price, financially, physically, and emotionally. Otherwise, we would not be sacrificing ourselves here if we did not want to be successful in being used by God. Paul gives Timothy advice about how to be successful in ministry. And I'd like to suggest two lessons that we can learn in this passage of Scripture today that may be meaningful to you in your ministry. First of all, find good mentors. Find good mentors. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey in Lystra, a city in southern Galatia. And the story for us is recounted in Acts chapter 16. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul was impressed with this young man and invited Timothy to go along with him in his missionary journeys. And this began a lifelong relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul commands Timothy in our passage today to pay careful attention, to follow closely, is what the word means, to give attention to Paul's teachings. What Paul had been teaching. Pay attention, Timothy, to what I have been teaching. To Paul's manner of life. How Paul lived on a daily basis. To Paul's purpose or his plan. What was it that drove Paul? Paul was a driven person, in case you didn't know that. He had a purpose in mind, in heart, in life. And he did whatever he could to follow that plan. Now Paul is inviting Timothy to follow that plan. Paul's faith. Paul was a man of faith, and he wanted Timothy to follow and to consider carefully his pattern of life as in faith. Patience. I think Paul was a very patient person. When you see some of the struggles and the problems he had to face in the local churches. Love. And endurance. Persecutions. Oh, Paul will spend a moment thinking about persecutions and the sufferings that he had in the various churches. And Paul will expound a little bit in the next verse or so about some of the places where he suffered. These were places Timothy knew very well. In fact, one of them was his hometown. Timothy knew Paul's life of suffering. He knew that godly living may lead to a life of suffering and persecution. Darkness does not like the light when the light exposes what is in the dark. Timothy knew the price that Paul had paid to be a follower of Christ. This life of authenticity and vulnerability produced a genuine attachment and a mentoring relationship between Paul and Timothy. Something about suffering together brings us together in a bond of brotherly and sisterly love and fellowship. Paul had nothing to hide to Timothy. Timothy knew all about Paul. He had traveled with Paul. He had lived with Paul for years and had seen how Paul reacted to the suffering and persecution that he had experienced. How could Timothy find success in his ministry in Ephesus? By following Paul's patterns of life. Mentoring involves deliberate involvement in the lives of others by providing an example for them to follow. Being nurtured by a relationship revolving around a common goal. Eric Johnson defines mentoring as a brain to pick
a shoulder to cry on, and a push in the right direction. The mentor becomes a mirror that allows the mentorees to look at themselves and to see what God wants to grow in their lives. Timothy knew Paul's way of life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. There's more to that than we may see on the surface. And so Paul sent Timothy. Paul wants the Corinthians to imitate him. And Timothy is the example, the living example of Paul's ways. Now later in the same letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul will tell the Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do you see the chain now? We have Christ, Paul, Timothy, Corinthians. And so Timothy is in that chain of mentoring relationship. People will imitate what they see. Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. There's a proverb that goes, not in the Bible, he who thinks he leads but has no followers is only taking a walk. Leaders invest in others. Paul saw leadership potential in Timothy. He invested himself in Timothy. Timothy spent time with Paul in his travels. He joined Paul on a second missionary trip. He settled problems in Corinth for Paul. Can you imagine being Timothy and being sent to the church in Corinth? Oh, I wouldn't want that job. But Paul sent Timothy to take care of those problems. Timothy led the church in Ephesus, one of the strongest churches in the New Testament. And also, Timothy was co-writer with Paul of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Here was a young man who became a significant leader in the early church. Now, as Paul writes close to the end of his life to his protege, his mentoree, Timothy, he wants Timothy to consider the patterns of life. The world around us is trying to press us into its mold, a mold that is contrary to the kingdom of God. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice the verbs in this verse, learned, received, heard, and seen. What the Philippians saw in Paul, they were to live out in their own lives. Remember, this is the same letter that Paul wrote that all things in his life were considered rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. A mentor passes his or her vision down to the mentoree. The greatest gift one can give, other than love, is to help another learn. Kingdom leadership ultimately rises or falls on character and formation, not skills or knowledge alone. Paul was a mentor to Timothy, and we each need a mentor. And we each need to be mentors. Seminary is an ideal setting for these relationships to be started and nurtured. One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself when you graduate from this school is for you to find a mentor in your ministry. Someone who can train you
in character and also in things like skill that you need in ministry. Find someone who has a passion and who has a vision for ministry like you. That person will be worth more than anything else in this world. Someone who can encourage you, push you sometimes, who can be a model for you in your ministry. The second lesson I want us to learn from this passage today is to determine to follow the truth of Scripture. Determine to follow the truth of Scripture. Paul turns to Scripture after talking about some of the trials he had. The surest foundation for ministry is knowledge of the Bible. It is the foundation for life and ministry. The strongest foundation we can have is Scripture. The stronger our foundation is, the better we will stand up under the storms of life. No matter how hard it is, stay true to what you know is true. Don't be caught up in the latest fads. There will always be new ideas. What are some of these new ideas that we hear nowadays? Sometimes we hear a watered-down gospel, one that does not have a cross to bear. Sometimes we hear about be happy and successful. We hear about growth, numerical growth. We hear about mega churches. How about things like prayer movements? Those are our latest fad as well. What is the latest fads? There'll always be new ideas. The newest ideas now will be old ideas in a few years. And maybe some of you will come up with the latest ideas. That would be exciting. Write a book about it. I'll buy it. Paul wants Timothy to continue in what he had learned, the old things. What did Timothy know? Well, verse 14 tells us, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Timothy knew, first of all, the facts of Scripture. These were, for him, the Old Testament and how that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Timothy's mother was Jewish. And so Timothy most likely grew up knowing Torah. And so as a young man, he was versed in Scripture. He knew it. Second, Timothy had become convinced of the truth of the Bible. There's a lot of people who know the facts of the Bible, but are not convinced of the truth of them. In fact, if you want, I'll give you a list of a couple of dozen New Testament scholars who are miles ahead of me in my understanding of the New Testament, but who don't believe what they know. You can know the Bible, but not be convinced of its truth. Well, the last part of verse 14 answers the question, why? Why was Timothy convinced of the facts of Scripture? Because you know those from whom you learned it. Why? Because of the character of his teachers. Timothy had become convinced of the truth because he had good teachers. The truth of the message was bound up in the character of his teachers. Well, who were these teachers for Timothy? Scripture tells us his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois, and Paul the Apostle. Timothy had mentors. His mother, his grandmother, and Paul were all mentors in Timothy's life. Their character was outstanding. Their actions were consistent with what they said. And so look at what Paul says in this letter in chapter 1, verse 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy had a lifetime of knowing the Bible.
Paul told Timothy what the scriptures that he had learned for would be good for. They would, first of all, make us wise to salvation. They would help us know the way of salvation, as the manual of the Church of the Nazarene says. We believe that the scripture contains all that we need to know about how to be saved. Scripture is also useful for preaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so, for pastoral counseling, for mentoring, for discipleship. The Bible is good for those things. And these were the very jobs that Timothy had as a minister. The scriptures were not given simply for our information, but for our transformation, said Dwight L. Moody. And what is the outcome? Verse 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. If we as a faculty had one goal for our students, that is for you to be thoroughly equipped for ministry. And we are assessing that this week with the senior interviews, graduating senior interviews for the MDiv students. We want to know if we have successfully helped you to be thoroughly equipped. The key word in this verse is thoroughly. It means to be fully qualified, with nothing to be added. Everything that you need for a trip. It stands in emphatic position in this verse, in the original language. Thoroughly be equipped. Now, some of you have passed the Bible content exam. Some of you have not yet. I hope you will soon. Now, I realize we have some problems with that, and we're going to be working on fixing that exam and fixing some of the questions that have been troubling people for years, and that's one of our jobs as faculty. We'll try to do that. But the point is, do you know the Bible? Do you know the facts of the Bible? And has the Bible transformed your life? Now, you don't have to have a PhD in New Testament or Old Testament, but you need to know the contents, the message of the Bible, and how to use it in ministry. Very important. We believe the Bible is true. Why? Have you ever thought about that? First and foremost, because of the example of others. I want to pass on to my students a passion for knowing the Bible. Yes, I want to teach you a few facts, but if you're like me, you'll forget the facts. I forget the facts sometimes in the New Testament, but I believe the New Testament is true, and the Old Testament. What do you do when life does not seem so polished as Scripture says? Perhaps the answers are gray, or you can't even see them. How do you counsel someone whose loved one has just died? Or someone who has just lost their job? Or someone who has been terrorized? When life gets tough, our view of the Bible sometimes gets fuzzy. You have to make a personal decision about what to do with the Bible. Don't wait until you graduate to be convinced about the truth of Scripture. You cannot do an adequate job without adequate tools. Dr. Howard Hendricks once asked a group of businessmen, if you did not know about your business or profession, or if you did not know any more about your business or profession than you know about Christianity, after the same number of years of exposure, what would happen? If you did not know any more about your business than you know about Christianity, after all of the years you've been a Christian, what would happen? So how long have you been a Christian? Well, I look at my life and, yeah, I'm getting up there in age a little bit, although people say I'm young. I look young. I still feel young. But I think, okay, well, I've known about the Bible for 30, 35 years, been a believer or known about the Bible. If I don't know more about that than I would in a business. So let's say I've been in business for 35 years and I don't know much about my business. Is that a very successful business? No, it's not.
Hudson Taylor, who opened the Inland China Mission to the gospel, said, "Depend upon it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." Will you stand with me for prayer? Our Lord, our God, we stand in humility, realizing that we are weak, that we have imperfect understandings, that indeed sometimes we make mistakes and even sin. But yet your word is so powerful to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us understandings into your word as we begin by first of all worshiping and fearing you, and then we begin to follow what you say in the scriptures. I pray for my friends here. May your Holy Spirit teach them your way. Teach them your word in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen.